Good evening, grave robbers, and welcome back to the Television Graveyard. We are your TV necromancers, Lara Prince and Noah Woolahan. We have come here tonight to examine the spirits of past television shows to find out which ones could be resurrected, should be resurrected, and which ones should just stay doomed. This is a podcast in which we'll analyze the history, the hype, and the aftermath of shows that ran only one season or only one episode. With me, as always, is TV's Noah Woolahan.
To helleth with this.
This week we are doing Welcome to Eltingville.
Yes, this is meant to be kind of a parallel for what we did 2 weeks ago when we did Super Nerds. Because as we were watching Super Nerds, I was like, you know, I feel like I've seen a show like this. And Welcome to Eltingville is a Adult Swim pilot.
Yeah.
That I caught, like, the last 8 minutes of one night watching Adult Swim. And I was like, ah, I kind of remember those 8 minutes being good. And similar to Super Nerds. So I figured we'd give it a shot. Lara, how do you feel about how we gave it a shot?
I'm going to get called a mean name on the internet again.
Hopefully not. But before we get started, there's something that I want to bring up. I have a fun surprise.
Oh, do you now?
Do you remember when we recorded Super Nerds?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
I asked our fans to do something. Do you remember what that was?
It's been a really long 2 weeks.
I asked them, once we set up what the show was,
yeah,
to pause our episode and make a guess what they thought the plot was going to be.
Okay.
And I have two guesses.
Okay.
So this comes from the Danish Guy Reviews. He says, I bet that Posehn's character macks on a hot blonde that's out of his league and succeeds against all odds. And then this threatens the friendship because we all know you can't have a friend and a girlfriend at the same time in the sitcom world.
Okay, he was super close.
As for the general plots, the characters are definitely going to lord their nerd knowledge over customers. Patton Oswalt's character in My Little Pony was pretty much the I know more obscure trivia than you nerd guy, and I could easily believe it started here. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Moss Collection, or Connection, says, don't tell me the plot is that one of them gets a girlfriend and or a new job. If this prediction is bad, it's because I'm sick. Love your work. It wasn't bad. That's pretty much exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, Danish Guy was just the wrong guy.
Yes.
Like, he turned it off when the blonde came in and talked to Brian Posehn. He didn't know it was going to be the brunette talking to Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. When the only thing you got wrong is which character and the hair color, that's a pretty solid guess.
For sure.
So, yeah, that was those were two fun guesses. So thank you so much for participating in our fun little game.
Yeah. That was so much more fun than anything else that's going to happen this episode.
So let's jump into this. Let's jump into Welcome to I don't know how to say the title of
Eltingville.
This. Eltingville. It's not that hard. We start with a game of Dungeons & Dragons.
It's a fantasy RPG.
Yes.
Dungeons & Dragons is copyrighted.
Yeah, they use some other copywritten terms, so maybe, but
I think there's certain amounts of fairies, but I feel like I don't think they call it Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, they're playing a tabletop RPG, and we're seeing what they see.
Yeah, it's three knights berating one another. One's berating another for setting the horses on fire. Bill is the one berating a character named Josh.
Yes.
For setting the horses on fire. The third one, who is named Pete is trying to keep the peace and is like, we've got to save the princess. We have to save Princess Tiffany.
Yes.
And Princess Tiffany is wearing essentially a very scant princess dress with
yes.
the like traditional cone princess hat.
Yes, yes. My first note is Princess Tiffany is too hot because it's a fantasy game that four boys are playing.
It's not even... Okay, I'm going to get my costume nerd hat on.
Okay.
It's not even... It's definitely an unimaginative guy who doesn't know anything about fashion.
Yeah.
Because you could make a sexy princess classic.
Yeah.
This is just... This isn't even like Halloween store princess sexy.
Yeah.
Like, it literally is just lazy design. She's wearing like a green tube top and matching skirt.
Yeah,
it is. And the princess hat.
It is a cliche sexy woman with a dunce cap with a veil.
Yeah. I trusted our listeners to know what the cone princess hat was.
I know, I just wanted to say it with different words.
And she's being held by Lord Atrocity.
Yes.
Guys, he's got yon fair mate. And shiver me timbers, is that one stacked?
Yes. She is impossibly hot. There is no reason that a character needed to say it out loud. This leads to a battle and an argument between Josh and Pete, I believe.
Josh and Bill.
Josh and Bill. Pete's the cool one.
Yeah. That's where to helleth is with this.
Yes.
Ah, to helleth with this.
Forsooth, surely thou art not attempting to lay at yon midgety hands upon the likes of Lord Atrocity.
Yes, I art so attempting to lay at mine midgety hands on Lord Atrocity. So have at thee, you cheap Skeletor ripoff.
And I think that's funny, the, like, the New Yorker trying to do D&D.
I liked Pete's line, have at thee, cheap Skeletor ripoff.
Yeah. I make merrily with the magic and such.
Then they all get frozen.
Yes, they all get killed with a some sort of frost spell. And then they start arguing with the DM about being resurrected.
Yeah.
And the DM is like, I can't do that. It's the rules of the game.
We're going to call him Jerry.
Jerry, because that's his name. And they're like, if you bring him back, you have to bring me back. Those are the rules. Have you ever witnessed a D&D argument like this? Because I have.
Of course.
Did you care to share yours?
Honestly, like, not really. Like, I don't remember the exact details of it. I just remember, I'm like, it was the same thing.
I have one where it was a bunch of people, like, looking through the forest, and then it's like, you hear a twig snap in the distance. And someone was like, I fire my arrow. It's like, you hit the old woman that was collecting firewood. And then it became, my character would have never done that. And the DM going, but you did. But you did do that.
But you are, Blanche.
But you did. So, like, all of this kind of, like, hit home for me, but turned up to 11. The fight is awful. Like, they take care for them not being very good at fighting.
Yeah, and we hear Bill's mom scream down the stairs.
Yes.
Like, get your stupid friends out of here.
Yes, Bill's mom will be a Charlie Brown parent in that we will never see them.
I mean, I think a reasonable comparison is Howard's mom from The Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
In that we only see her, we only hear her, and we only hear her yelling.
Yes. We then get the opening credits.
Which is kind of good.
Which, yeah, I was behind this because it's very much parroting the
Batman 66.
Yeah, Batman 66. Adam West, Burt Ward, Batman. And it's done very well. But what is being shown is these four characters being awful. Like, they're pushing people out of the way, they're fighting over comics and stuff like that. And they're basically setting up that all these characters are bad. We're in, like, an It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia situation.
Yes.
We're not supposed to like these people.
Yeah. And we meet them. Pete is the Secretary of Horror. Jerry is the Secretary of Fantasy RPGs. Bill is the president, but also the Secretary of Comics.
Yes.
Josh is the Secretary of Science Fiction. And Jane, not a member. Jane is Bill's little sister and clearly was going to be intended to be a major antagonist in the series.
Yes.
Had this gone to series.
Or, if you're really watching it, the protagonist. Because these people are awful.
Yeah, I mean, antagonist you're conflating antagonist with villain.
Yeah, I know.
Now you started this TED Talk. Protagonist is just the main character, whether you agree with their objectives or not. That's why you can have a villain protagonist and a hero antagonist. The antagonist merely is just trying to foil the protagonist or trying to stand in the way of the protagonist's wants.
Yes. I would compare
Thank you
the,
for coming to my TED Talk.
I would compare the role of the sister, what their eventual role would be, would probably be very similar to the lawyer from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He's always objectively correct. But because these horrible characters, the ones we spend time with, we're not really cheering for him.
Yeah, like, so we meet them and clearly Jane is going to be more of a character.
Yeah, but we're not going to see much of her being a character in this episode. We get down to, like, business, and each person is asked what they've been up to. And when they go to Jerry, he starts with,
beady, beady, beady. Okay, Buck.
And I was turned off by that line. Because I was like, oh, are they just going to throw references like it's the Big Bang Theory? I'm going to eat my words. Because that's not the case. And it's really the only time that they do one, like a line from something for no reason.
Yeah.
There's also a bit where I think it was Josh had been writing letters for a Mr. Sulu show.
They all were.
But pretending to be multiple people.
Yeah, they need $99 of postage for the 200 letters they had sent.
Yeah.
Like, so far I'm, like, on board.
Yeah, it's fun up until this point.
And Josh got a videotape called Sexy Sirens of Sci-Fi and Horror Revealed. And it's film clips of, like, Scream Queens and other people topless.
Yes.
Now, something very close to this exists.
Well, the two I can think of was there was two things on G4 that aired. One was called
It's the International Sexy Ladies Show,
which was just like, we're going to travel the world and look at sexy women. And then there was
Video Game Vixens,
which was just like a panel of people judging the sexiness of various video game characters. Which, oof, and also ran one season.
So actually, I'm thinking of something called Scream Queen Hot Tub Party. I heard my own tone academically saying that sentence as soon as I said it.
Excuse me.
I just thought of it.
What I'm talking about is Scream Queen Hot Tub Party.
I've just had this saved. It was posted on Obscure Media subreddit a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's five B-movie leading ladies gather in a mysterious mansion and exchange Scream Queen tips in between nude scenes from their previous films.
Okay.
And it's dated 1991.
Mm-hmm.
So, all this to say, that existed.
Yes.
And I had saved it. Because it's a weird media curio.
Yeah.
I've never watched it. It's just like a saved post on my Reddit.
Laura just goes through and saves things so that when I go, hey, what do we want to do for Stay Doomed? She has a list at the ready.
Here's some other things I've saved. What Have We Learned, Charlie Brown? One of many lesser known Peanuts specials. Aired on CBS only twice.
Ooh.
I compiled a large amount of 90s malls and stores from retail books of that era for your viewing pleasure.
Nice.
Morbius Sweep, how an internet meme caused a mediocre superhero movie to bomb at the box office twice.
We've covered Morbius.
First episode of Thanks, a 6-episode sitcom about 17th century Puritans in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Terror at London Bridge is a made-for-TV horror drama starring David Hasselhoff. When London Bridge gets relocated to Arizona, so does the ghost of Jack the Ripper.
Oh my god, why have we never covered that one?
You never asked.
I'm asking. That sounded like a word salad. Like, you were just picking out of a hat. Like, all right, I need an actor. David Hasselhoff. I need a location. The London Bridge. I need an antagonist. The ghost of Jack the Ripper. All right, put it in ChatGPT and let's go.
Yeah, Carrie the musical, like an article about focus groups, and then a cross stitch pattern of a capybara.
Cool.
So that's an insight into what my what that looks like. But I remembered that because I did save it because it seemed like something. I think I saved it before we did the WWE Girls Gone Wild crossover episode.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm interested in doing an episode on Hot Tub Screen Queens.
No, I don't think so.
I think I just saved it because it was such an odd thing to find.
Mm-hmm.
And I save also. This is also just a list of video essays. Like, it's just a list of cool video essay channels that I saved.
Oh, all right. Well, that's what we're doing after this. They try to watch this video, but the VCR is broken. Because in 2001, there were these things called VCRs still.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, VCRs are, like, on the cusp.
Yeah, they're on their way out at
like,
this point.
By this point, you have DVDs, but you probably still have a VCR.
Yeah.
I know when I went to college in the mid-2000s, my father was adamant I bring a VCR.
Yeah.
He's like, I was like, I have a DVD player. I don't need this. And he goes, no, bring something with a VCR. What if there's a tape you need to watch for class?
True.
And you know what? At that, could be, this kind of emphasizes how in between we were.
Mm-hmm.
There were a bunch of times people had to watch movies for class in my room.
Oh, because you were the
because
only one.
Because I had a VHS player.
I was the only one that could tape Lost, just to give you a time frame of my college experience. Anyway.
They also, throughout this entire thing, make fun of Josh constantly for being heavy.
Yes, this is weird, because what ends up happening here is the tape, they fight to get the tape to work, and then when it does work, it's like a parody of like H.R. Puffin stuff or something. It was like a children's show.
Yeah.
Instead. Which leads to, like, a brawl.
It looks like a Hanna-Barbera bear show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it might... Honestly, it's so blink and you miss it. It might actually be, like...
Yogi.
Yeah, it might be, like, a weird, obscure, ripped-off version of it.
They end up having, like, a fist fight that's, like, super gross.
Because what happens is everyone but the guy who paid for the tape cracks up.
Yeah.
Like, they all actually take it, like, champs. Like, oh, that's funny. And the guy who paid for it gets upset and tries to choke one of them.
Yes. And then there's, like, a fist fight. And, like, as they're landing blows, pimples are exploding. It's very Adult Swimmy at this point.
Yeah.
Where, like, gross is a punchline. Violence is a punchline. You know, that era of Adult Swim. And they end up, like, having a huge brawl, and they constantly call Josh fat. And the end of it is they break up their friendship.
Well, the end of it is Bill's mom throws the other three of them out and says they can't meet there anymore.
Yeah. And Bill and Josh end their friendship, and Josh is like, that's fine. And then Josh, like, finds food in the trash and starts eating it.
Jerry and Pete shove him into the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And then he eats trash Doritos. He goes like, oh, these aren't that stale. And I write, get it? Because he's fat.
Yeah, it's... For a show like this, it's odd to lean on fat jokes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, I get it, they're nerds, but, like, fat jokes are kind of a different...
I mean, Super Nerds did it, too.
Yeah, Super Nerds did it as well.
I mean, I think that's that mid-2000s, like... Body shaming was one of the last things that was, like, totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, mid-2000s humor is really, really body shamey.
Yes.
Like, all a young female character had to do to be, quote-quote, ugly was be, like, a size 8.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, size 8 is by no definition fat.
Yeah.
But it was, like, TV fat. And then, just... So many body shamey jokes.
Yeah. Because the next thing we have is Bill has a dream that he is basically Captain Kirk, but only surrounded by beautiful women.
And they're all ensigns. I wanted you to notice that. He calls them all ensign.
I don't get the reference there.
They're all lower ranking characters.
Oh, okay.
There's no commander. There's no lieutenant. Ensign is like the catch-all term in Star Trek of like younger.
Oh, okay.
Less experienced. Like, yeah.
Okay.
She said, I had a
I don't know how to feel about this.
Like.
I'm not a Trekkie. Sorry, gang.
I did grow up with Star Trek. Ensign's just like this catch-all term. It's a commissioned rank. It's really just kind of a catch-all. Like,
okay.
It's often younger characters. It's usually, it's often security. Oh, here we go. An ensign's primary, this is according to the Memory Alpha fandom wiki. An ensign's primary duty was professional growth, both as a leader and an occupational specialist. So ensign kind of sounds like intern.
Okay, yeah. Their job is to grow into an important person.
Yes, and there's usually one or two ensigns in a given series who are important.
Gotcha.
Because they're people who are going to grow into, like...
characters.
Yeah, I want to say, like, Harry Kim from Voyager was an ensign. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I was a... I liked Star Trek Voyager as a kid. Somewhere, there is a picture of me dressed as Captain Janeway. That is all.
Noted. So, they go and explore another, like, planet. And then the planet turns out to be Josh's face. And they just get, like, swallowed up in, like, pimple juice.
Yeah.
And it's really gross and unneeded.
Yeah. It's also all these ensigns are all over him.
Yes, of course.
Like, if he had any power, he would abuse it immediately.
Yeah, absolutely.
Noah starts apologizing profusely to Laura.
Because I can tell at this point, Laura is not enjoying this.
No.
This is way grosser than I remember it
being. Here's my next two notes. Bill wakes up screaming. You know, Sophia Nygaard has a new video out, and I could be watching her make croissants right now.
We did watch the croissant video.
We did. I want you to rest easy, friends. I got to watch her make croissants shortly after this.
So... They do try to, like, build a bit of a world here that I kind of enjoy. Like, his alarm clock is for major violence, which is kind of a funny, like, pun. But an original superhero that exists in this universe. They then decide to go to the movies, and for the sake of the club, they are going to befriend Josh.
Yeah, but they have this whole conversation literally in front of him.
In front of him. But, like, that's also a thing that I get, because I remember when I was a young lad, there was only so many people in my school that liked wrestling. So if I wanted to talk about wrestling, I had to talk to them. And we didn't all get along. But these are the people we were stuck with, because we're the only people that shared interest. So that kind of rung true to me as, like, a true-to-life nerd culture thing. Of, like, that friend that you tolerate because you have the same interests.
I mean, that's a TV tropes trope, the friend that no one likes.
Yeah.
So the plan is, we watch the Jaws ripoff first, then sneak into the Alien ripoff, and then sneak into the Halloween ripoff.
Yes. Thought that was good nerd language right there. Because, like, the idea of, I want to see all these movies, but I'm going to sneak in and see them illegally. And I've already decided I hate them.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a, like, bad nerd thing.
They get caught trying to sneak into the Alien ripoff.
Yes. And when they get thrown out, like, they then have, like, this speech of, like, we will rise up against the jocks that threw us out of the movie theater. Justifiably.
Yeah.
Like... I think they're doing a good job of being like, these are your protagonists.
And they suck.
But they suck.
And they do.
They then go, there's like a montage of them being nerds and crappy to like younger kids.
Yeah, they go to a toy store.
They go to Tharby Toys, which I thought was a funny bit.
Yeah. For our younger listeners, there used to be KB Toys.
Well, it's a mix of KB Toys and Toys R Us because the B in Thar B Toys was backwards.
Yeah, so it was like a cool nod to that. They go to clearly a Burger King.
Yes.
And I think they steal the little crowns from some children.
Yes, they steal crowns. They push someone out of the way so they can play an arcade game.
Yeah.
Like, it's just them kind of being terrible.
And then they go to the comic book shop where the rest of the series takes place.
Yes. Once again, we get violence as a punchline here because they just start fighting again.
Well, no, we get this little kid.
Oh my god, I forgot all about this. Wannabe?
They call him Willoughby the Wannabe.
Willoughby the Wannabe.
And they say, why can't someone put him out of our misery?
Yes.
Which is kind of a good line.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets hit by a car and then attacked by vultures.
Yes.
Which is the most Adult Swimmy mid-2000s.
Well, he leaves the comic book store after, like, opening a trading card packet. And he was like, I finally got the card I wanted, guys. I finally got it. And I looked at Lara and went, he's going to get hit by a car.
Yep.
And as soon as he steps into the street, he's hit by a car. And then vultures attack him. He, I guess, is supposed to be, like, a Meg character or... I forget the character's name in basketball. Where it's just like, the punchline is he sucks. And it's okay that horrible things happen to him. Which I think is a missed opportunity that I'm going to bring up a little bit later. They try to rob him while he gets hit by the car. Like, they look through his cards to see if there's anything good to take. Then they go into the store. They start fighting. I forget why they're fighting. But they stop when they see something. Their eyes grow wide and they gasp. If you're listening to this podcast, I want you to pause right now. And I want you to tell me what you think these two were looking at. We'll wait. Go ahead and pause. Leave your comment below. What do you think they were looking at? Hi. Welcome back. Did you think it was a woman? Well, you're wrong! It was a mint-in-box Boba Fett action figure. I thought that was funny.
So... the store wants to charge $300. There's a great bit here.
Oh, I love this bit.
The comic shop owner, who is, I think, the only truly sympathetic character in the scene, the devil appears in his shoulder and goes,
rip them slobs off! $200!
Tisk, 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 please! You could get $250 off these suckers easy. $300.
That's good. That's
it
like
is.
A good bit. And then the only way that this can be settled is with a trivia off. And dear listeners, I want you to know that when I first watched this show on Adult Swim, this is when I turned it on.
Yeah.
It was just these two characters doing a trivia off. And he says, like, one question each, 30 seconds to answer, and no dumb stuff like what's Lucy Lawless's bra size. And they both go, but I know that. They then, for a long time...
Like a really long time.
Just zing back and forth with these questions. And immediately answering another question. Immediately answering...
But there's a point where everyone in the store starts to chant, EC-dub.
Well, yeah, because it turned violent.
Yeah. Which was a good, like... I understood something.
Well, I would like to point out that... I forget what the first question they asked was, but you answered it immediately.
Oh, it was Wedge's last name in Star Wars.
Yes.
Which is Antilles.
So this is kind of like a fun nerd thing. And I was like, when I watched this live the first time, I was like, oh, okay, this is a fun nerd show. And like, I was kind of keeping up with it at the time. Like, there was a lot of stuff I didn't know. There's a few things I did know. It is very comic sci-fi and fantasy focused.
Yeah.
There's no video game references, which I think is interesting, is that we go through all of this without any video game stuff. And eventually someone says, how long could this go on? And the response is, only the shadow knows. And this to me is what puts this show above Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
The Big Bang Theory, this is the joke I always bring up when I bring up the Big Bang Theory, as I turn my page loudly, which is, do you really think Howard's going to give up sex to play Halo? And Sheldon replies, no, I think he's going to give up sex to play Halo 3.
But.
And the problem with that joke is you can replace the words Halo and Halo 3 with nonsense, and it's the same joke. You really think Howard's going to give up sex for Bloggert's Magan? No, I think he's going to give it up for Bloggert's Magan Morgan. It's the same joke.
Bork, bork, bork.
It's just like, listen, I said a nerd thing. Throughout this, all the nerd lines are hidden.
Yeah.
So if you get them, good on you. And if you miss them, nah. And stuff like that is rare in, like, media. Where it's kind of like, I didn't feel like I was being catered to, and I didn't feel like they were just, like, throwing it in my face. It's just like, yeah, that was a reference to a thing you like.
Yeah.
We're not going to draw attention to it, but I'm glad you got it. Wink. Yeah. Wonder if you missed any. That's great. Because I'm going to bring up another one that they kind of slip in a little bit.
Bill wins on a weird technicality.
Who says beady, beady, beady?
Jerry! I mean Twinkie! Too late! Too late! You lose! You lose!
Which, it was like a surprising callback because it was a callback to a thing that annoyed me, but it was there for a reason. It wasn't just them, again, throwing a nerd thing in my face.
Yeah. And, like, that's so believable. Of you have a friend who just kind of has an affectation that you all know. Everybody's got their little, like, mannerisms.
Yeah.
I found out recently one of mine is, yup.
Yup.
Like, because we just watched the Dropout episode of Game Changer with Bingo.
Yeah.
And people's mannerisms come into play. So we were discussing what would be on everyone's bingo card.
Yes.
So somebody mentioned, like, oh, Lars would have, yup. And I was like, I didn't realize, and I never thought of that as something that was like a me thing until it was brought up. Now I realize it every time I do it.
Yes.
But I always picture the Pam from The Office meme when she goes, yep.
Yep.
So then Josh calls everyone anti-Semitic.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
I mean, it's that bad nerd. There's something different about me, and therefore, if you don't like me, it's because of this different thing, not because of my personality or not because I lost honestly. Like, I was surprised they went in that direction instead of fat.
Yeah.
Because they do genuinely seem to dislike him because he's fat.
So despite all of this that happens, Josh then says, do you hold product for customers? And the shop owner says, no. And he goes, Bill, do you have $300 on you? And he says, no. And then he runs out of the store to go get money from his mom. And both of them do this. And this is important. Both of them rob their parents.
Yes.
Like, very clearly, Josh takes his mother's pocketbook. And as he's leaving, his mom yells, have you seen my purse?
Yeah.
And he yells, no, I haven't seen it.
And then Bill steals his mom's checkbook. And as he runs by his sister, Jane, who was clearly going to be a bigger role, she just repeatedly stabs his head with a voodoo doll of him with a pin.
Yes.
We almost missed my favorite line, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yes. So I was...
When the two of them run out, the comic book store owner goes,
suddenly I know what pity is.
Yes. I love that, because this is kind of an important thing, is they always want to make the comic book owner a loser, but he has a business. So, like, the fact that he's kind of above all this, I think, is a good choice. Now I know what pity is. To me, Bill's sister reminds me of, what's her name, Gaz?
Yeah.
From Invader Zim.
That's fair.
And in a great bit, She's like stabbing this voodoo doll and nothing's happening. Bill is running down the street to get back to the comic book store.
She gets annoyed and throws, like, this doesn't work, and throws it. Mm-hmm. And then Bill takes a header.
Bill just tumbles down the street. It's a good visual. It's a decent gag. And while all this is happening, they cut back to the comic book store where, what's his name, Peter? The fourth one? The one that's not Jerry, Bill, or Josh?
Pete.
Pete. Is just, everyone is like, the comic shop is now calm.
Yeah.
And like relaxed. They're just chatting and he goes,
"It's obvious Boba Fett's dead, Pete. The Sarlacc belched. It ate him.
Show me the body. No body, no death. Just like Freddy Krueger, Dr. Doom."
This is the first time I remember ever seeing that argument.
Really?
It was the first time I ever remember someone trying to argue that Boba Fett was alive.
That's so...
Which I think just means I didn't run in a lot of Star Wars circles.
Yeah.
But like that... Because whenever that argument came up again in my life, I always quoted this show.
Which is very funny.
Where I said,
funny.
"Show me a body." Because I thought it was really funny. Because I believe that this, like, right around... Let's see. This is 2001... So what, the remakes, or not the remakes, the special editions would have come out, what, like 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And that's my first Star Wars experience, was going to the theaters to watch the special editions.
Yeah.
So it's more fresh in everyone's mind again. I forgot something, but I'll come back to it once we finish this whole thing up.
Okay. So... The two of them start to tug of war over Boba Fett.
Well, they have this issue where the store does not take credit cards or checks for some reason. And this leads to the two of them having a tug of war. And wouldn't you know it, the Boba Fett doll breaks. And Josh says,
"But he's no good to me dead."
Yeah.
Which is a reference to Star Wars, which is just kind of like slipped in and like well done. It shows like some care went into writing this script.
Yeah.
And they now have to split it.
Yeah, because they both immediately go, "Well, you broke your..."
Oh yeah, "you broke your Boba Fett action figure." No, "you broke yours." They both broke it. They both have to pay for it. And... they're not willing to give the other half to the other one.
Yeah.
So one just has the head of Boba Fett, the other has the body.
Which is like the same plot of Super Nerds.
Yes. It really is.
Yeah.
And I believe that's the end of the show.
Yeah.
Like nothing more of note happens here. I do want to just real quick circle back to the wannabe.
Yeah.
Because he stays in the rest of the episode all beat up and bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at one point, he's seated on the counter and he goes,
"Hey, I got a good one. Who played the Joker?"
And the store owner just pushes him off the desk or the counter. I thought for a moment he was just going to like, lightly pat his
head. Nobody.
No. Because I think if you're a someone who frequents these types of establishments like I was, there was always the kid that was too young to be there, but was also into stuff that everyone just kind of tolerated, even though they never fully connected with everything because they were too young. And, like, to have a character like that in this show, I think would be, like, very strong and appropriate. But he wasn't going to be that. He was going to be a violent punchline.
Yeah. So, I did not like this cartoon, but... Okay. I want to put a big but here. This is based on a comic.
Right.
Called the Eltingville Club. And I really do kind of, I can forgive it Because the more I read about Evan Dorkin, who is the writer of it, the more I realize that he's not writing these characters in a very sympathetic way, and that there's more, it's more overt in the comics. Here is a quote. It's not about cute, cuddly, awkward fans. It's always been about the unsocial, self-absorbed, arrogant little tyrants that make fandom a less fun place. The idiots who make death threats to creators and rape threats against women, writing about sexism in the video game industry. Who argue the most ridiculous points of trivia as if they honestly matter in the grand scheme of things, and don't know how to behave like credible human beings and go bonkers if they're called on that behavior. And one of the reasons the author stopped writing this, he in the 2016, like, what's the omnibus? The toxic fan attitudes were so prevalent on the internet, he didn't want people to start liking the characters.
Yeah.
So I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this kind of read a lot like Ed, Edd, and Eddy.
I could totally see that.
Where, like, Ed, Edd, and Eddy are, like, con men. They're kid con men. And they do bad things, but they always end up, like, punished at the end. And I think that's what they were going for here. But I remember when my a lot of my sister's friends, because I have a younger sister.
Yeah.
When they were much younger, there was this big talk about not letting them watch Rugrats.
Okay.
And I was like, what's wrong with Rugrats? And a lot of kids that were like 5 years old would watch Rugrats and relate to Angelica and then do Angelica things.
Yeah.
So I could totally see people watching this the same way that, like, older people watch in my college years would watch Futurama and just be like, Bender's how I'm going to live my life. It's like, that's not the message of Futurama at all.
Yeah, it's very much not the message of Welcome to Eldingville.
Yeah, but I could totally see nerds being like, oh, this is just like me and my friends. That's awesome.
I'm the Bill.
Yeah, I'm the Josh. Ah, punch, 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 violence. I think everything else I want to say is a post-verdict statement.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Evan Dorkin is still extremely active on Twitter.
Really?
Or X or whatever. So if you scroll through, and he still talks about a lot of Welcome to Eltingville constantly. Like, he posted the storyboards recently on, like, quite recently on his Patreon, like, in the last month or two.
Wow.
Here is a tweet from Evan Dorkin. We'll never understand comic book nerds who gain a modicum of power and ditch the responsibility. So clearly his sentimentality toward bad nerds has not changed.
Yeah. And yet subtly a Spider-Man reference. Well done, sir.
Yeah, that's dated March 23rd of this year.
You might become my favorite person.
And he answered some questions about what happened to different characters. Jerry is in therapy, has anxiety issues. He'll probably be okay. That's the kind one. According to again, this is on his Twitter. He must have done a Q&A in October of 2023. Josh doesn't become a comics editor, inherits his parents' house, and dies a decade later of a heart attack like his mother. Bill stays home, stays the same, sells stuff on online, dies unloved.
Oh, this is his, like, 80s movie montage of what happens to everybody else?
Pete, registered sex offender after incident with underage fan, overdoses at age 36.
That's funny. I should...
The comic actually does go into the future and has them break apart and reunite as adults. So, I think... I didn't like this show in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those shows that, for me, benefited greatly from the research I did.
Yeah.
Because I can enjoy it significantly more with the background information I have, knowing a little bit more about the comic, knowing a little bit more about the creator. That being said, I would never have watched this.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have this established as a rule. If not, I'm going to invoke a new version of the verdict. Stay tuned. And this is the new Evan Dorkin rule. I just want him to make money and have a job.
And support this creator.
Yeah, I like the creator a lot and would like him to make money.
I'm surprised that that's your verdict. Because what I'm going to say
is, I don't ever want to watch this again.
Oh, I got that. I definitely got that.
It's not my thing, but...
To me, I see a lot of great components in this. Like the ideas of like exploring bad nerd culture. And this being kind of like an Ed, Eddy, like I said, that like we're following the people that we're not supposed to be cheering for, and we're going to watch them get punished for their terrible decisions. And I say a lot of things, like, to me, the best character in this is Pete. Pete never really gets involved in any of that stuff. He's always the moderator. He sets up the rules for the trivia.
Yeah.
It looks like he would develop into being, like, the main character of this.
Right.
Plus, now we also have Bill's sister, who's going to be, like, an antagonist to them that's going to get just desserts for us as the audience against them.
Yeah.
That's a great thing that can develop, and that's going to be great. So, in all, after looking at all that, I have to give this a Stay Doomed via the Game Over rule.
Okay.
Because all the things I like about this stuff are hopes for the future that may not come.
Okay.
Because what I'm really doing is to not, like, to me, I'm like, this is great. Pete's the main character and he's dealing with these two idiots. But clearly Bill's the main character. We're in Bill's home. We learn about Bill's sister. Like, Bill's the one that gives the dramatic speech about how we're going to rise up against the jocks. Bill's the character we're following in this.
Yeah.
And
Bill sucks.
And Bill sucks. And, like, maybe it's just, you know, that I've aged out of this, but, like, I'm not a big fan of gross-out humor. I've never been, like, fans of fart jokes or anything like that. I think they're simple and, like, unneeded. It's great for the show that's airing at 1:30 in the morning on Adult Swim when you're barely awake or... taking other substances. But for me, it's not something that I really care about. And to me, I keep highlighting the stuff that is hidden within.
Yeah.
Rather than the stuff that's clearly on the surface that I honestly am not a big fan of. I think this show could work, but I don't think this is the way it would have worked.
That's fair.
So I'm giving it a Stay Doomed via the Game Over rule.
Yeah.
Which, again, if you don't know what that is, the Game Over rule is when you think it could be a good show, but you would have to change the core aspects of it to fix it.
That's fair.
So that's where I stand.
All right.
So we don't know what we're doing next week. I can guarantee you it'll be something that Laura picks. But... I do want to ask this question, now that we've watched Super Nerds,
yeah,
and now we've watched this. Why do you think they kept trying to make this show?
I think when this is happening, okay, gather around, children. I'm thinking about what is happening culturally at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So we are right now, Sam Raimi's 2002 Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Is currently in theaters again.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right now.
Yes.
It's currently in theaters again. So it's this beginning of the comic book movies starting to come back.
Because did the original Spider-Man came out in 2002?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it is a well-known fact that... they had to cut the first trailer before,
yes,
release,
right,
because of the Twin Towers.
The Twin Towers, because Spider-Man catches a helicopter in between them?
Yes. So, it is That comes out in 2002. The first X-Men movie.
First X-Men movie's earlier than that.
It is. Because X2 is in 2003. The first X-Men's in 2000. So we are starting slowly to, like, start the comic book movie engine that lasts about 22 to 23 years, depending on how you currently feel like it's going. Mm-hmm. They are clearly on a downswing right now. Comic book movies are not printing money the way they were in the late 2010s. But they're just kind of getting their footing.
Yes.
We are still in the shadow of Batman and Robin being, despite one of my all-time favorite films, a colossal flop.
Yes. But Spider-Man was the most successful movie of all time.
And to say nothing of X-Men was so successful, Hugh Jackman cannot escape Wolverine this day.
Yeah, he's going to play Wolverine in a movie this year.
Yes, I mean, he's been playing Wolverine for nearly 25 years.
Oh my God, I hate that knowledge.
So, now that I've ruined everyone's day, that nerd culture is getting just a little bit more into the zeitgeist.
I mean, this is also around the birth of the PlayStation 2.
Yes.
And, like, graphics of video games really starting to shine. Because I remember it being in high school, and me and a friend were discussing X2 for, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Before we realized that one of us was talking about X-Men 2, and the other one was talking about Final Fantasy X-2.
You're also seeing early internet. So you're starting to see a certain type of nerd becoming more...
that's a good point.
You're starting to see a certain type of nerd be more visible.
Yeah. Yeah, they're coming to light more. Yeah, that's a good point as well.
So I think we're just starting to, at this point in time, nerds are starting to be like an uncatered to... an untalked about subculture, and they're like, oh, well, this is something we can, like, think about. I mean...
but they still don't know how to talk to us.
I mean, Freaks and Geeks is right around this time, too.
Right,
and I will say the geeks in Freaks and Geeks always felt very accurate to... I would say they're by far more accurate.
Have we covered Freaks and Geeks?
yes, it's this...
for a month and a half, did we cover Freaks and Geeks?
Yeah, and Freaks and Geeks is 99.
Okay.
So... and I want you to realize that, like, especially with Welcome to Eltingville, that show, that those comics were before the TV show.
Okay.
And so we're talking about these being more contemporary than you realize.
Yes.
So I'm thinking about it in that way of we're starting to get into geeks as a subculture, but we're not quite ready to make them sympathetic yet.
Interesting, yeah.
Because think about, like, IT Crowd. IT Crowd's 06. And we're not quite sympathetic to Roy and Moss.
True. When was the OC? The OC was...
the OC is 2003.
2003, okay. Because that has the nerd character in it, who's like a handsome boy that...
are you talking about Love of My Life, Seth Cohen?
Perhaps... I just remember the line where he's like...
I'm sorry, maybe I didn't understand you correctly. Did you seriously just ask if there was a comic book based on the X-Men movie?
And then he was handsome and buff in the next scene. It's like, that's not... all right, whatever.
I loved Seth Cohen. Seth Cohen liked comic books, pop culture, and emo. He was the ideal man to me in 2003. Not sorry.
No, that's fine.
Sorry, not sorry.
So thank you so much for joining us for yet another edition of Stay Doomed. Bit of a programming note that I just wanted to throw out there. We don't know what we're doing in May because May is a trash fire in terms of our availability to sit down and record.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I've become very successful and have tons and tons of bookings, so we don't know how we're going to do the show in May. So We thought we'd throw it out there to you guys if you have a suggestion, because I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, we're still...
going to try.
Yeah, I mean, we're absolutely still going to try. We're trying to kind of figure out a way we can still work, like, you know, still make things and make this art while still also not dying of our schedules.
Yes.
So we're still working that out. If you have any suggestions.
I've often thought about recording one while driving to one of my many shows. And you know, not like an on the road with Plus Two Comedy, but like something else. Just to be like, all right, we gotta get something out there. So I don't know what's gonna happen in May. But you could come see Scott Holiday do some stuff all over May. But if you have some ideas, where can people find us?
You can email us at thestaydoomedshow@gmail.com or on Facebook and Twitter at @staydoomed.
And if you want to talk to me about your group of nerds and how you guys fight, I'm at +2comedy on Twitter.
If you want to talk to me about Seth Cohen specifically...
If you are Seth Cohen.
I loved that he was in the comic books. If you want to talk about essentially the history of early 2000s nerd culture, I am at Priorities. Until next time, stay doomed.
Let's watch those video essays.